What is it with this justice talk? What's this about? The new purpose and vision and mission statement of the United Church of Christ reflects a lot about justice. Purpose, it says, we, the United Church of Christ, to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, strength, and our neighbors as ourselves, taken directly from Scripture, the great commandment of Jesus, Matthew 22, and other places in the gospel. Vision, it's vision statement. We who belong to the United Church of Christ is this, united in Christ's love, a just world for all. Mission statement. We in the United Church of Christ, this is our mission. United in spirit, inspired by God's grace, we welcome all, love all, and seek justice for all. Justice. Do we hear a lot of that in religious circles? Maybe it's just a UCC thing. This concept of social justice, making the world a better place, fighting for the common good, might seem to many of our ears a political concept. But many, including myself, would say that it is a moral concept, or more specifically, even further than a moral concept, it is a spiritual concept. Striving for a more just world for all. That's what we want. That's what we envision for the world. That's why we are here. So, when people are hungry, when people are addicted, when they're homeless, when they need clothes for school, when people are rushing across borders, fleeing oppressive wars and governments, it's not just politics. It reflects our common morality, our common humanity. It's a spiritual issue. Do we believe that? And why? Why, if so? Well, because of things like our scripture today. These prophets wailing against the people of Israel in such dramatic terms. I hate and despise your festivals, Amos says. Your songs are like noise to me. God is not interested in this. Wow. If that's the case, why do we put so much emphasis and energy on this hour of the week? If it's anything that we focus on, it is this. It is this time of worship, our prayers, our songs, what we say and do here in this hour. It's our prime emphasis. But then we hear this today, and it says God is not interested in it. And God talks about justice and righteousness. Perhaps we can't blame churches too much today, dwindling budgets. What should we preserve? And many people and many churches and church councils, they sit, well, we need to preserve what we have and what we do, and that is the worship service. That is our songs that we sing. That is making sure there is somebody to present the word. In the 20th century, there was a change in how people considered what is evangelical. It was kind of a change, a perception change in that term, evangelical. When we conjure that term, it has some political things to it. It's hard not to have political political things assigned to different terms nowadays. Evangelical was a term in the 19th century that had a lot to do with being socially active, especially slavery. The abolitionist movement was primarily rooted in a spiritual movement, a church-based movement. When people had an altar call to come forward to join the church, to make a profession of faith, to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, people would be right there looking to sign them up to be a part of their movement to help abolish slavery, which they saw as a social ill, a social sin, a sin upon the country. Then in the 20th century, things kind of shifted a little bit. At the beginning of the 20th century, we still had the social gospel movement, and all these people, these immigrants would come into the big cities like New York and Boston, and the church would look at these people and have a lot of empathy and sympathy for them, and the church sought to protect worker rights. The church was behind women's right to vote. Now, when we conjure up the term evangelical, mostly we think of a personal righteousness, right? The righteousness stuff, prayer, being saved, making sure that we have our check mark to get into heaven. Or a sort of prosperity gospel, making sure that your life is good and right in God's eyes. That's a part of being a Christian, but we cannot stand without two legs. We need to have justice as well as righteousness. We need to have our prayer warriors combined with our social justice warriors. What a force we would make if we did so. If we put the prayer and spirituality and theology behind and the energy that we put into praying to what we do to make a difference in the world. Too often there's too much of a disconnect. There's too much of a wall between these two concepts, righteousness and justice. Yet the prophet that we read from today has it in the same sentence. The biblical message is clear. Jesus' number one topic in the Gospels, in all four Gospels, if you put it all together, was issues of poverty and wealth. Believe it or not, over heaven and hell, over sexuality, was issues of, in some way, had to do with poor or the poor or the evils that wealth tempts us with. One out of every 10 verses in the gospel have to do with economics. One out of every 7 verses in the Gospel of Luke. The New Testament is not devoid of this. Paul's writings. In fact, the Epistle of James has one out of every 5 verses has something to do with economics, something to do with the poor. There's an African concept. It's a tribal concept. It's an African word called Ubuntu. I learned about it in my trip to South Africa. It means that our salvation depends on the salvation of others. In other words, if there is somebody in your community outside your door that is poor and suffering and hurting, then that affects our salvation as well. What if this were true? That we will not truly be saved unless our fellow human beings are also saved from their plights. If we read Matthew 25, that's the only determining factor that Jesus presents in his parable of sheep and goats. What did you do for those that were the, quote, least of these? Something to consider. The early Christians had no want, it says. They pulled all their resources together. What if we were more like that as a church family? If there's somebody that is of need, that is sitting in the congregation, that we would pull together and surround them and take care of their needs. We do. But maybe we could be even closer in that regard. Christ came to establish a movement. And we've talked about this before, but the church is not just buildings that sit on the street corner. It's a movement. It's a social movement that Jesus started, and that affects the economy of the world around us. Jesus came to establish a different relationship with God and with each other. Any spiritual movement that doesn't result in a new economy among its believers is incomplete. A new way with dealing with the world, a new way of dealing with each other. If this, our prayers, our worship, and songs does not affect what we do in trying to make the world a better place, it's off balance. It doesn't stand. Charles Finney was a 19th century evangelical. And by the way, during the 19th century, you probably have heard of things like the Great Awakening. We owe Christianity in America in large part to what happened in those very spiritual movements and tent meetings that happened in America 150 years or so ago. Charles Finney was one of those people. He said to stand neutral to slavery and other problems would undermine the spiritual life and integrity of the church. We can't stand neutral to some things. When society is unequal, when the laws in the justice system in our society benefit one over another, we can't stay neutral. We can't. We have a legacy in this church of helping the poor, of reaching out. Back Bay Mission is one. Crossroad Home in Indiana is another. Neighbors in Need, we are a 5 for 5 congregation. We have certificates on the wall of our giving to OCWM from funds that we set aside for that purpose. It's written in to what we do, into our bylaws, that we give. But I don't know if we talk about it as much as we should. Let's keep this legacy. Let's keep it strong. Let's keep letting justice roll down. Roll down and erode those rocky creek beds. Roll down and erode away prejudiced biasness. Roll down to help the poor, to reach out and make sure that this place remains a place for children and those in need, like the WIC program and Head Start program. Let's continue to reach out and feed those in our schools through the school lunch program and summer feedings. Let's continue to have this place open for groups to meet, 12-step programs, and to deal with addiction. Just keep letting it roll. Keep the justice rolling. Keep the work that we do rolling down. Rolling down. If there's anything we do, let it be this kind of work. Amen.